Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. This just in. There's a TV series with that name, This Just In. Pop Network has it tomorrow morning, and a week ago earned a Daytime Emmy Award nomination. Co-star and executive producer Elizabeth Stanton joins me next. Speaking of Emmys, Reels Channels earned 10 nominations in 2011 for The Kennedys, the controversial miniseries exploring arguably the most beloved first family of them all. On Sunday night, Reels begins the sequel, After Camelot, based on the best-selling book by J. Randy Caraparelli. Mr. T will come our way next half hour. Meantime, Netflix is a few hours into offering its latest scripted series, one tackling as tough a subject as it gets. Suicide frames 13 Reasons Why, and next hour, we will connect exclusively with executive producer Joy Gorman-Vettles. Also ahead, 30 Rock Season 3 DVDs can be yours, answer our classic trivia question of the week. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy to have you with us for this final Friday and day of March 2017. This is the promo about television. A very wet day here in the New York metro area, 41 degrees and raining at the top of the hour. Wherever you are, we hope it's bright. And we have a wonderful show for you, expanded edition, 90 minutes ahead for you with some terrific guests along the way. As always, we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Raise your voice, pick up the phone, and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is in anywhere you're texting across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you don't want to use the phone, that is no problem with us because we got chat room. And it's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We've got guest 655, Blog Talk Radio host Mark Rial, and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon or Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. On our way to our first guest live from Los Angeles, we've got some news note quickies. CBS will move ahead with Ambulance, an unscripted profile of first responders. The series was created from a similar program running on the BBC in England. Former Office co-star Rainn Wilson will play the iconic villain Harry Mudd in one of our episodes of Star Trek Discovery, coming to CBS All Access later this year. Roger C. Carmel portrayed Mudd on the original 1960s Star Trek on NBC. And at this hour, Writers Guild executives have not answered a request by TV producers to renew talks on a new contract. That effort fell apart a week ago, and don't forget, if the writers do not get a new contract by first week of May, they may go on strike. And that is news notes for today. Our first guest is the co-star and executive producer of a program that just a week ago won a Daytime Emmy Award nomination for our Best Original Family Viewing Children's Series. It's a program that we did not know about until Mark Berman, our good friend from the Programming Insider, let a lot of people know. It's called This Just In. It's on the Pop Network, and it's on tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Joining us live from Los Angeles, co-star and executive producer, Elizabeth Stanton. Elizabeth, welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Elizabeth, are you and everybody at This Just In still in shock that right off the gate you've got an Emmy Award nomination?
Yeah, it's been so exciting for all of us and a shock, and we are all so happy.
And how did it take to get that Emmy, nomination? Because a lot of people don't know around the country that there is a show to begin with called This Just In. And I understand that Pop Network, whose program we have featured on this program from time to time, does not do a lot to publicize the program. Elizabeth, are you there?
Hey, sorry, I couldn't hear what you just said.
Yeah, I was just saying that for a lot of people around the country, they don't know about your show because Pop Network, which programs the program, has it running, does not do a lot of publicity for it. So I'm wondering if how the heck the Emmy Award people were able to recognize the program and then get you that nomination.
I don't know. I feel like we've done a lot of press and promotion for it, and Pop's really been pushing for it, especially in my area. It was really cool because we all had a ton of billboards around, and it was weird driving by my face almost every day.
Well, for a lot of people who don't know about your series, tell us about what it's all about.
This Just In is a high school-based series where I play the nerdy girl in school, basically Liz Sandler, me, moves to a new town and starts in a new school, and she really wants to make new friends, and it's about her really coming together with friends that wouldn't normally be expected as friends, and she takes the news network and really turns it around, and that's like her big thing on the This Just In morning news network at her school.
And does the news network, which is the student-run service, does that serve as a metaphor for the issues or for the situations that you and the other characters deal with?
Yes and no. I feel like in the show there's always so many different issues that are brought up and addressed that kids can really relate to. And on the news network, I feel like Liz always talks about something that's relevant or important to what's happening in the school and also what kids back home can relate to.
Did you create the series? And if so, how were you able to get it on the air?
So actually, Rob Pinkston, who wrote the show, has known me for years, and he sort of based the show off of how I used to actually be in high school, which was super quirky and nerdy. So it's been really fun sort of just playing an exaggerated version of myself.
And how did the show develop from your experiences?
How did the show develop?
Yeah.
Basically, Rob and I got together, and Rob really wanted to make this into a show, and we pitched it to Pop, and it sort of just blew up from there. So it's been a roller coaster of events, but it's been really exciting.
Why did you pick Pop to play the program?
I felt like they were a good fit because they're a new network, and it's been awesome working with them.
I believe we have our first call, Elizabeth, and I think we're going to take it, so let's give it a try. Hello, you're on Tomorrow.
All right,
tell
awesome.
Us what's your name and where you're calling from.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hi, you're on the air. It's Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow We Tell Lies. Who's on the line?
This is Tyler. Is Liz here?
Yes,
speaking.
She is. She's on the air.
Liz,
Tyler, where are you calling from? What
Elizabeth
city?
Stanton? I'm calling from Hollywood, California.
Hi, Tyler.
Right, well, glad to have you on. Go right ahead.
Liz, is this you? Really?
Yes, this is me.
Yeah, okay, so I've been following you since Great Big World, sorry, kind of nervous, like a year ago, and I just want to say that I love your character on This Just In, because you rep glasses really great, and I wear glasses, and I thought that's really awesome.
Thanks, Tyler. That's awesome to hear. I'm glad you like the show.
Yeah, Liz, I love you so much.
I love you too.
I know you're good friends with Jennifer Veal.
Yes, Jennifer Veal is one of my best friends and also one of my co-stars.
That's so freaking cool. How is it working with her?
It's amazing working with her. I'm actually really good friends with so many of my cast members, so it's such a fun show to work on. Jenny is so easy to get along with and easygoing. I mean, we just got back from India together because we were traveling on my Great Big World travel show, and we took Bryant Wood along with us. It was so much fun.
That's awesome. Thank you for everything you do. I mean, I think you really show like how it's cool to be yourself, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really glad you liked the show, and I'm glad you called in. It was awesome talking with you.
Okay, well, thanks Blogspot or Blog Radio.
You're very welcome, Tyler. It's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for joining in. That's Tyler with us right here on our telephone line at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Elizabeth Stanton. She is the co-star and executive producer of This Just In. It's the Daytime Emmy Award nominated weekend show on Pop Network. It's on tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And again, if you have a question or a comment for Elizabeth, give us that ring at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We've got guest 655. Blog Talk Radio's Mark Reel is in the chat room. He is a friend of our second guest that's coming up in the next half hour. And Rick River of Philadelphia is also in the room. By the way, coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, IFC has got a brand new comedy with Hank Azaria and Amanda Peet. It's called Brockmeyer. That's Brockmeyer. And on Monday, we'll have an exclusive live interview with the creator and executive producer of the program, Joel Church Cooper. That's Joel Church Cooper from Brockmeyer coming next week on IFC, live and exclusive with us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Elizabeth, call Ken's in. We are going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Who's on?
Oh, hey, this is Fernando. I'm from South Bay. Is Liz here? Is this Lizzy?
Hi!
Yeah, you're on the air with Liz, but there you go.
Hey,
what,
Fernando.
Lizzy? Oh, my gosh. Am I really talking to Lizzy?
Yes, you are. How are you?
Lizzy, you have, like, the most amazing cast in this show. The girl from Disney Channel, what's her name?
Jennifer
Those short girls.
Yes, I
yeah,
do
the
have
accent.
The most amazing cast. I always
her
hype them up. I love them.
And Rob Pinkston, who's the darker, the ethnic girl with the curly hair?
Winna Grace? Yes,
oh,
love
yeah,
Winna
like,
Grace. He's definitely one of my best friends, too.
I see you guys hang out. Are you guys all, like, friends in real life? Because I see on your Instagram, you just hang out with all them.
Yes, we are all really close in real life. Whether we're on set or off, we're always goofing around. It's awesome because not only do I get to work with them on This Just In, but I get to work with them on Great Big World, too. So it's fun to travel with them. And I can say that my cast are the group of nicest, most down-to-earth people you will ever meet.
Wow. If I DM you, will you follow me on Instagram?
I would love to follow you on Instagram, Fernando.
All right, check your DMs.
Okay, I will.
All right, Fernando. Thanks so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Take care. Fernando with us live on Tomorrow Be Televised. Since you mentioned Great Big World, for those who don't know what that is, tell us about that, Elizabeth.
Great Big World is a reality-based travel show for kids. I basically go all around the world with different teen celebrities, and we like to do something that sometimes gives back to the local communities and shows kids a broader perspective of the world. It's been an amazing show to work on. We just filmed my 100th episode, and that's like my baby. I love this show so much, and it's been amazing to experience so many different cultures with amazing people.
And where is that playing? Is that running on a network or is that running online? Where can you find it?
Every Saturday morning on Fox.
So it's part of the Fox Saturday morning lineup that they've
got.
Yeah,
it's part of the Fox affiliate, so you can check your local listings online. But here in L.A., I think it's – or you can check my website, which is elizabethstantontv.com. But in L.A., I'm pretty sure it's on at 7, 8 or – actually, I'm not really sure, so I'm going to have to check on that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But going back to This Just In, how long did it take for you and everybody involved to make this show, to pull it together, from creating it to getting it on Pop to actually producing the first episodes?
So we actually shot the pilot episode first, which would have been about 2 years ago. And then from there, it really just went so fast. Everything happened within a blink of an eye, and it's been so, so amazing. I can't tell you. Bringing on new cast members and everything, it's been really cool.
And one of the unique things about this program, which I think caught the attention of the Daytime Emmy people, was the way the characters talked directly to the viewer. It's sort of like breaking the fourth wall, as we like to say in TV parlance, where the character at any moment will address the viewer with something they want to get off their chest.
I think that's definitely one of my favorite parts about TJI is that we break the fourth wall. And I feel like that's how people back home can really relate to Liz Sandler, how she really talks to the people and can relate to them. And I feel like that's great for kids because they they not only can see, like, if they are having problems in school and whatnot, that Liz Sandler has those problems, and if she can make it through it, so can they.
Lately, we've seen a lot of people who are co-starring in programs, all sorts of shows, who are also taking on the role of being an executive producer. Would you have done this show otherwise, if let's say, just be a co-star, just act, or all along did you feel that you wanted to have some sort of creative control in the way the show went?
I mean, I definitely would love to work in projects that I'm not producing on, and I have, but this has been such a different experience because not only am I starring in the show, but I get to have input and say, and I get to be one of the executive producers, so it's honestly been like one of those projects that is really close to my heart because I feel like I relate so much to it, and I get to have so much say in it.
Does the rest of the cast have an opportunity for the writers to bring their own experiences of high school to the program?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, we're all pretty a close cast and crew, so if anybody has any sort of ideas, they're brought up, and whether or not they're used or not, sometimes they are. It really depends.
I want to welcome guest 673 and guest 671 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04, but if you have a question or comment for our guest, Liz Stanton from This Just In, or from the Fox Series Great Big World as well, put it in the room. That's Simon Apple 04 by name, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. That number's going anywhere to catch us across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, This Just In, which last week received a Daytime Emmy Award nomination for Outstanding Children's Family Viewing Series. It's on the Pop Network tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And again, you can also see Elizabeth on your local Fox station on Saturday mornings as part of their Saturday morning day part in a show called Great Big World, which is approaching, I guess, 100 episodes by now. What are some of the, on This Just In, what are some of the issues that you deal with?
We've definitely dealt with a lot of issues that relate to, like, bullying, cheating, just things that you would see that come up in high schools these days, and I think it's really important to address these type of things because it's a big problem in school, especially bullying. I mean, I know I can definitely relate to that because I was bullied when I was in school, and so that's definitely a topic that's been really close to my heart. So we did at least three episodes on that, which really addressed the situation, and it's talked about, but I feel like bullying isn't talked about enough these days and what an impact it has on kids in schools.
Why is it, do you think?
I feel like people like to avoid the subject, and I feel like people really need to address it more because it really affects kids more than you think. And you can see what's happening in the world on so many people that have been bullied and, like, the results of it that happen in schools. And I just feel like on This Just In, we bring it up in, like, a lighter setting, and we use comedic relief to really make it a lighter situation. But at the same time, we also bring a message that says how bad bullying is.
A number of TV series and movies over the last few years have dealt with cyberbullying, bullying through the internet or through social media. Is that a topic that either has been covered on This Just In or given the second season, which I understand you're going to be doing, would that become a topic?
It hasn't been covered yet, but I definitely would like to bring that up in a future episode for sure.
What is it like as an executive producer to work with other people, some of them your age, some might be older or younger, to put programming like this, to put a series like this on the air every week?
I can definitely say this has been one heck of a learning experience. And to work with the people who have been older than me, I've learned so many things, especially from them, and they've taught me so many great things. And it's been cool because I've been treated as like an equal with them, and we really respect each like my ideas and their ideas are all respected and thrown out on the table, and it's been a great collaborative work environment.
Did you have any concerns about that going in, that would not in fact happen?
Of course I was a little bit nervous going into this because it's been like the first sitcom I've, one, ever worked on, and two, been the executive producer of, but I knew I was going in working with some great people, so I didn't have like any concerns about that.
Some people who have seen this just in, label it one way or another, the Saved by the Bell of your generation. Is that a fair description or a fair likeness for you?
I would definitely say so. I mean, I grew up watching Saved by the Bell, and I feel like this would be the more modernized version of that for sure.
Incidentally, Peter Engel, who was the executive producer of Saved by the Bell and the many other shows similar to it that were on NBC during the 1980s and 90s, was on our show last year. He's working on a Saved by the Bell musical, which he hopes to perhaps get on Broadway or off-Broadway sometime in the next year or so. So you never know. Maybe the This Just In musical or stage show might be. Any thoughts about spinning off the series at some point, maybe into a movie or a Broadway musical or do a spinoff series with one of the characters?
Yeah, that'd actually be really cool. Actually, a lot of my cast is pretty musically talented, especially like Jennifer and Wintergrace. Winter's actually an amazing dancer. And one of the funnier episodes we actually did was we had a full-blown dance routine at the end for our homecoming episode. So I feel like that was probably the most musical experience we had on the show.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Stanton. She is the co-star and executive producer of This Just In. It has won a Daytime Emmy Award nomination as Outstanding Children's Family Viewing Series. It's on the Pop Network. It's on tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Elizabeth Stanton joins us live this half hour from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, I'm here with you live from New York, where it's 41 degrees and wet at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Elizabeth, give us a ring at 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Get 655, 673, and our friend Rip Rep from Philadelphia are in the room. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we're going to spend time with the author of the book that inspired the sequel to Real Channel's Emmy-winning series, The Kennedys. The book is called After Camelot. The miniseries sequel to The Kennedys, based on that book with that title, starring Katie Holmes and Matthew Perry, premieres this Sunday night on Real Channels, and we will have the author, J. Randy Torbelli, with us. And then, in a live same interview from the new Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why, co-executive produced by Selena Gomez, we will have another key executive producer from that series, Joy Gorman-Wills. And she's live from Los Angeles with us. That's after the top of the next hour, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Elizabeth, what do you think about the fact that the Daytime Emmy cited your series as not just a children's show, but a show for family viewing?
I mean, that's awesome. And I definitely think it's a good show for families to watch together. I know I've definitely shared this with my family and their family friends, and people love to watch together with their families and kids, and it's just a fun show to watch. You don't have to be like a kid to enjoy it. It's funny. I mean, it's a funny show. I'm not just saying that because I'm on it, but I've definitely shared so many laughs like rewatching the episodes for sure, and people can just relate to it and the humor that's in it.
We have another call, Elizabeth. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, good to have you. You're on the line with Elizabeth. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Liz. Hi. I'm wondering what your background is that got you into both hosting as well as acting, and where you want to go, like where you see your future going, whether it's more towards the acting side or more towards like hosting like big game shows, or where exactly like you came from and where you think you want to go.
Well, I'm not sure if you know this, but I actually kind of grew up under my mother, who hosted still hosts a travel show. And so basically I kind of followed in her footsteps and picked up so much stuff from her. She's really been an amazing, amazing role model. And basically, I started off hosting, and I host my own travel show as well. And from there, I kind of went into the whole acting thing. I really didn't see myself at first going into acting, but as soon as I started working on this sitcom, I fell in love with it. And so now I've been working on a sitcom, and then I just started a new project working on a drama, which has been so, so different, but so much fun at the same time.
Awesome. So you see yourself in the future going more towards the dramas?
I don't know. I mean, I see myself definitely working in this industry for a while. I mean, comedy is definitely, like, my heart and where I see myself being, and I love it because I've got such a quirky and outgoing personality. So I'd love to continue in comedy, but, I mean, dramas are fun, too. I mean, it's just so different, you know?
Cool. Well, wishing you the best, and definitely follow your career. So best wishes.
Awesome. Thanks so much for calling in.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ivan.
You're welcome. Thanks, Rick. Okay, this Rick Webber from Philadelphia here on Tomorrow Talks. We're getting one more call in this half hour. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Talks. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, this is Rebecca, and I'm calling from Hermosa Beach.
Rebecca, great to have you with us from Hermosa Beach. You're on the line with Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good. Thank you. I just had a question. When you were putting this show together, did you have sort of an age range in mind for your viewers? I'm just curious because I know in my house that your show on Saturday mornings is very popular. I have two young girls, and they love to watch it every Saturday morning. And as a young mother, I'm really into the show as well. So I just didn't know if you were aiming at a specific age group or if you were really trying to go and hit all age groups, because if so, I think you've been very successful at that because it is definitely a great family show that we can watch together on Saturday morning. So I just sort of wanted to get your feelings on that.
I definitely agree. It's great for all families to watch and really all ages, but I feel like it's directed mostly to kids around like 12 to 17, really kids that can relate to that sort of high school experience and junior high, and just it's great for kids that age because they can really relate to the issues that are happening at school and feel like they're not alone, but it's also great comedic relief, so it's not like stressful, you know, for kids because kids are stressed in school. I know when I was in high school, I was so stressed all the time and felt like the world was ending, but I feel like this show really helps to show that, no, the world's not ending. This is just high school. It's not the end of the world.
Well, that's great to hear. Well, I think you've done a great job, and I just wanted you to know that you do have younger viewers and older viewers as well, and but it's a very popular show in my household on Saturday morning, so just wanted to say congrats, and I can't wait to tell my kids that I got to speak to you on the phone today in real life.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It really means a lot.
Okay, thanks, Lizzie. We'll see you soon on TV.
Absolutely, Rebecca. Thanks for making the call. Rebecca, our friend from Hermosa Beach right here on Tomorrow We Tell Us. This is before we let you go. Where do you want to take the series in season two, and are you putting a drama pilot together just to follow up on what some people have been asking about?
Yes, we are putting a pilot together. I can't really talk too much about it, but it's definitely been pretty exciting. And I know we are going to start filming some more episodes of This Just In, so I'm really looking forward to that because I get to spend so much more time with my cast and have a great time shooting. Every time we shoot, it really feels like we're back in high school because we're on a soundstage with lockers and classrooms, and it's just a really fun set to be around.
This Just In. Daytime Emmy Award nominees, Outstanding Children's Family Viewing Series. You can find it on the Pop Network tomorrow at 10:30 p.m. 10:30 a.m. That's Eastern Pacific Time. 10:30 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Pop Network. Check your locals where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, poptv.com. That's poptv.com. Again, I want to thank our very good friend, Mark Bremer, for the Programming Insider. He wrote about this series first. Let a lot of people around the country know about it, and that's how we were able to make a connection and have Elizabeth on today's episode. Elizabeth, Stan, thank you again very much. Congrats on the Daytime Emmy nomination to you and your fellow cast and crew. By the way, the Daytime Emmy nominees are, the Daytime Emmy Awards are taking place in Los Angeles, I believe, at the end of April. Unfortunately, they are not going to be televised. I hope that the Emmy Award judges, by the way, and organizers change that tune and get it on somewhere so we can keep, and if they do, we'll let you all know. Elizabeth, thanks again for being on the program. All the very best to you on your career, including season two of This Just In, and also all the best with the Emmys next month.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun, and hope you guys have a great day.
Will do, Elizabeth. Thank you again. It's been a pleasure all the way. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. You too.
Elizabeth Stanton, co-star and executive producer of This Just In on the Pop Network, tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and who will be joined again in Los Angeles by the author of the book that sprung the sequel to the Kennedys on Reels, a sequel you can start seeing this Sunday night. It's called After Camelot, and author J.A. Randy Tarparello will join me after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the hip-hop scene. Check it out today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can find the best of ETR 24/7 at YouTube.com. And also, our show and other Blog Talk Radio programs, 24/7 on podcast through iTunes and the iTunes podcast app from Apple TV. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised, our edition expanded for the final day of March 2017. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. Your guest coming away the hour ahead, and we invite you to stick around and be involved in the conversation. All you have to do is give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. Rick Wimmer, our friend from Philadelphia, guest 673, already in the room. 6 years ago, Reels Channels became a scripted television service with a program called The Kennedys. It was a show that they decided to pick up when History Channel and other networks would not. The show, which a lot of people thought was going to be a disaster, turned out not to be that way. It got rave reviews, and it won 10 Emmy nominations, including an Emmy Award for one of its stars, Barry Pepper, who played Robert Kennedy. The program starred Katie Holmes as Jackie and Greg Kinnear as JFK. And Sunday night, Katie Holmes returned in that role of Jackie, not only co-starring, but also, I believe, an executive producer of After Camelot. It is the miniseries sequel, 4 hours worth, made the people made the Kennedys are back, and it premieres this Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Reels Channel. Joining us live from Los Angeles, the author of the book that spurred that miniseries on. The book is called After Camelot, and we welcome its author, J. Randy Tarbarelli. J. Randy, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing? It's great to be here.
Very fine, thank you. Have you seen the finished product? And if so, what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm one of the executive producers, so yeah, I mean, I've seen it about 100 times, and I got to tell you, it's great. I mean, we're really, really happy with it. You know, it took 5 years to do this project, and it definitely was worth the time. Katie Holmes is amazing. Matthew Perry is amazing. We've got a great cast, a great story, and yeah, I'm very, very happy with it.
What do you think the Kennedys did so well on Reels Channel? It was a gamble on their part because it was a network that was not as well known up until then. History Channel would not run it. Major controversy over it. A lot of speculation that the Kennedy family was saying, no History, don't run it. If you do, you're going to get repercussions from us. So they took the gamble and it paid off for them. Why do you think that the public took that series to heart, and it looks like they'll take this miniseries to heart as well?
Well, you know what? I love the original Kennedys, and it's a funny story is that when it was airing 6 years ago, I was writing the book After Camelot. While that miniseries was being broadcast, and every night I would watch the show, I'd watch Katie and company. The next morning I'd go to my computer, and I would write After Camelot, and I just had this sort of feeling that it would be the sequel, even though I didn't know any of the staff of the Kennedys. I didn't know Katie. I didn't know anybody connected to the original movie. I just loved it so much, and it inspired me to write After Camelot. And I think the reason I loved it was because it was just so honest and so fair, and I felt really an unbiased approach, which is what I try to take with all of my books. And I think that's why the public loved it as well, and the critics, you know, with the 11 Emmy nominations, it was really well received. And so we're really happy to be able to now tell the rest of the story.
What's important about the rest of the story, first from what you did in your book and then what's going to be on the miniseries starting Sunday night?
Well, both the miniseries and my book begin after JFK and Bobby are gone. In the miniseries, you see Bobby Kennedy being killed, and then the story of After Camelot, which basically means after JFK and after Bobby, unfolds. And one of the big plot lines that we begin with is Jackie Kennedy trying to put her life back together again with Aristotle Onassis, who you see in our movie being brought to the Kennedy compound by Jackie to meet the Kennedys for the first time, exactly as I wrote in my book. I mean, the you can sort of read along my book and watch the movie unfold, because it's very, very close to what I wrote in After Camelot.
Incidentally, we're going to be joined by someone that Mr. T knows very well, who is also a Blog Talk Radio host. We're going to get that person on the line in a few minutes, so stand by for that. How long did it take to write After Camelot, and did you get any cooperation at all from the Kennedy family?
It took me – well, actually, the After Camelot is my second Kennedy book. My first was Jackie Ethel Joan, Women of Camelot, which was an NBC miniseries. After Camelot was my second book. I just finished a book on Jackie Kennedy, her mother, and her sister, Lee Radziwill, which is coming out next year. And, you know, I had personal experiences with Jackie Kennedy when she was at Doubleday back in the 1980s, and I was also at Doubleday as an author, and she was an editor. So I had a chance to sort of traffic in her world a little bit and have a – and I wrote about that in After Camelot. I wrote about my experiences with Jackie Onassis. Though I didn't have a lot of cooperation from the family, what really mattered to me was the cooperation from the John F. Kennedy Library and Museum, who have always been so great to me and have given me so much material in terms of oral histories and tapes and photographs and, oh my gosh, so much minutia, all of which I have used at one time or another in my Kennedy books.
Was it your intention, by the way, to be an executive producer on After Camelot, the TV miniseries, all along?
No, actually it wasn't. You know, I came on just as the author of the book, and then I became so invested in the process that the other executive producers decided to make me an executive producer, which was such an honor for me because, you know, working with these people who are so gifted in television has really been a dream come true for me as an author and as a biographer. To just be able to sort of bask in their refracted glory has been amazing, and I've learned so much in the last 5 years of being an EP on After Camelot. You know, that I have just valued the experience so much. And working with Katie Holmes and Matthew Perry, who are also executive producers, and Kerry Selig and Michael Prupis and Stan Hubbard, who is a CEO at Reels, it's been a fantastic experience for me in every way.
The Kennedys, After Camelot, is the miniseries sequel to the Emmy-winning The Kennedys, and it premieres on Reels Channel this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific time. So it is on live in different time zones, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, 8 p.m. Central, 7 down, 6 Pacific, on Reels Channel. And we've got the author of the best-selling book that got After Camelot going on television, J. Rainey Tamborelli. He's live with us from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum, who is you live from New York. Glad you're with us this final day in March 2017. You have a question or a comment for J. Rainey, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, blogcompany.com/televise. The critics are excited about Brockmire. It's the new IFC comedy starring Hank Azaria as a baseball play-by-play person who's trying to make it back from, you might say, the minor leagues of his life. He's joined by Amanda Peet as well. And on Monday, we've got an exclusive interview with the creator of the series, Joel Church Cooper. He's also one of the executive producers. That's Joel Church Cooper from Brockmire, coming next week on IFC. He's live with us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And now joining us in the conversation is Blog Talk Radio host. He's been waiting all this time to speak with you, J. Rainey, Mark Rio. Mark, thanks for coming aboard.
Hi, Randy. Hi.
Hey, Mark. How you doing, my friend?
Good. You know what? A little bit of history back, you guys. Randy and I were supreme buddies back in the day when the fan clubs with Supremes.
Yeah. That's how I got my start, you know. I mean, I started in Philadelphia working for the Supremes, running their fan club when I was a kid. And Mark was one of the members of the fan club, and we've been friends ever since. And that's got to be like, well, I'm not even going to say how long ago that is. It's a very long time ago.
Do you know how long that is? Do you know how long that is, Randy?
Don't even tell me. I don't even want to know.
But anyway, listen. He posted a picture of a place that he lived in when he first went into Los Angeles, and then fast forwarded to a billboard for this new place. Well, tell them about it.
Well, when I first moved to California, when I was 18 years old, I had maybe $50 in my pocket, and I was working for the Supremes. I was making $63 a week, and I managed to get an apartment in sort of a not the best neighborhood in Hollywood, and I lived there for a little while until I got evicted. Now, directly across the street from that building today is a giant billboard for After Camelot, which is so amazing to me that I'm able to go there and see this building where I got my start, where I really couldn't afford the $130 a month rent, and see right directly across the street this enormous billboard for After Camelot. It's kind of a full circle experience for me.
Can you imagine that, you guys? I mean, this is my man. I mean, this is the guy that has done everything. He's done everything in his lifetime.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a great career, and, the Kennedys have been a really important part of it. So, of course, were the Supremes and Diana Ross, who really gave me my start.
Yeah. Mark, is there something about the book, about the series that you're looking forward to seeing showcased on Sunday night or showcased in this series?
Well, no, I want to know more about the Chappaquiddick thing. I don't know for some odd reason. What was that?
The interesting thing about Chappaquiddick for us is that it's never been portrayed on film or television ever. I mean, and it's amazing to think this event that happened 50 years ago, this misadventure of Ted Kennedy's, has never been depicted or dramatized ever before now.
I know.
Yeah, we have this great opportunity to tell this story that's never been told, and, that's a really rare thing in Hollywood these days. So I was extremely careful with the telling of it to make sure that we had all the facts exactly right, and to make sure that it was fair to everybody, and it was quite a task. It really was.
Well, I know. What were the facts?
Well, you know, they're so complicated that for me to give it to you quickly on an interview would be unfair to the sort of scope of the story. But watch it. It'll be the second hour of the first 2 hours of our premiere Sunday night. And in that second hour, we begin Chappaquiddick, and Chappaquiddick spills over to next week, April 9th. And, our miniseries airs April 2nd and April 9th on Reels.
I will watch.
Watch it.
Do you think Matthew Perry was a great Ted Kennedy?
I do. I was really excited about Matthew Perry when we cast him, because I had seen him in The West Wing maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and I loved his work in The West Wing. Of course, we all love Matthew from Friends, and he's, Chandler Bing is such a big and important part of our culture. But Matthew is a much more versatile and experienced actor than just Chandler Bing. And what I saw in The West Wing was the reason why I was excited about casting him, because The West Wing was a political program on the network, and I knew that Matthew would be able to handle that kind of role, and he did a great job with us. I think people will be really impressed with the magnitude of his performance as Ted Kennedy.
Did you do the casting, Randy?
We all of the executive producers, had a hand in the casting of pretty much every role, and but I have to say that not one person really it was responsible for any specific aspect. I guess you, with the exception of the guy who wrote the movie, Stephen Cronish, and the man who directed it, which would have been which was John Cassar, and Katie Holmes directed Hour 3.
You know
three.
What? I saw a clip, Randy, of a JFK character, and I thought he looked exactly like JFK. Who was he?
Well, that's Brett Donahue, and you know we had a sort of a national search for just the right JFK, and I can't even
perfect.
Tell you how many people auditioned for that role, and it was really a specific look, but beyond that, it was also a specific sort of attitude and elegance and sort of a respectability that we wanted to bring to that part. And Brett Donahue, he nailed it. And he nailed it in his audition. We brought
him
back, and
I know.
He was great. People will, I think, really love him in this role.
I think the whole project is marvelous.
Thank you.
Really.
Thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Mark, I want to thank you for coming aboard with your thoughts and your praise for J. Randy. Really appreciate having him aboard. And all the best with your Blog Talk Radio program. It's a pleasure to have you on our show.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome. Mark Rio joining us live today on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We have J. Randy Tamborelli. He is the author of After Camelot, and that is now the miniseries sequel to The Emmy Winning the Kennedys, premiering this Sunday night at the 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Reels channel, available all across the country on cable and satellite. J. Randy joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're with us on this last day of March 2017. Where it is wet, wet, wet outside New York right now. 41 degrees at the top of the hour, but I understand this weekend, so it'll be very, very bright. By the way, I want to give a quick shout-out to my brother's daughter, Mallory, who is getting married in New Jersey tomorrow, and the whole family's going to be down there for that. So congratulations to Mallory and her beau, Michael, for a wonderful marriage starting tomorrow night and a wonderful relationship that hopefully will last for a good long time to come. Anyway, if you have a question or comment for J. Randy, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or check our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up after our interview, the classic trivia question of the week, and you can win the DVD of the third season of 30 Rock with all sorts of bonus features if you know the answer. So stay tuned for that. And coming up at the top of the hour, Internet Radio Exclusive, again live from Los Angeles, we'll have one of the key executive producers of Netflix's new series that came out earlier today, 13 Reasons Why. Selena Gomez is the co-executive producer, and we've got one of the other key people involved, and that is Joy Gorman-Wills. She is with us live at the top of the hour right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jay Randy, has the experience given you any thoughts about perhaps moving more directly to television as a writer?
You know, I have to say that, yes, it has, and there have been a few times along the last 5 years when I thought, yeah, maybe that's something I want to do. But, you know, I have had, I've had 15 New York Times bestsellers, and my writing career as a biographer is just so full. And I have projects that go back to back for the next maybe 5 or 6 years, and I just don't have the time, you know. And I think that the only way to be able to write television is to take the time and devote as much as you can to that process. And I've just never had the time to do anything other than what I do. So maybe one day I'll be able to carve out enough time to do it. But you know, right now I'm sort of tied up.
Well, if you could, and you decided to make it a series about one of the historical figures you have written about, who would that be?
You know, that's tough to say. You know, I wrote a book about the Hiltons 3 or 4 years ago that I have been trying to get off the ground as a miniseries for the last few years, and it's the Hilton Hotel Dynasty family. And it's a great story, you know. It's a great American story of enterprise and it's family. I sort of specialize in books about families, and so I think if I could really do something that, you know, that I would love to do, it would be to take my Hilton's book, Story of an American dynasty and turn that into a miniseries. I think it would be a great story.
After this miniseries, you're working with John Cassar as both an executive producer and director. He's an Emmy winner for his work on 24. He was nominated for his work on the Kennedys. By the way, he won both the Directors Guild of America, U.S. and Directors of America, and the Directors Guild of Canada Award for the Kennedys, which is a very rare thing for a director because he comes out of Canada. What's it been like to work with him all the way on this series?
Oh, my gosh. Wow, what a great question. And what can I say about John? You know, he's such a great guy. I mean, besides the fact that he is such a great director, what I loved about working with John was the enthusiasm that he had for the project and just his attention to detail and his very specific determination for accuracy was something that I really appreciated as an historian myself. But on a personal level, I have to tell you that working with him was such an honor. He's such a wonderful guy. If it were up to me, I have to be honest with you, if it were up to me, John Cassar would direct every movie that I'm ever involved in. He was amazing from start to finish, and I consider him a great friend. And I'd love to work with him again, and I have a feeling we will.
In the end, Jay Randy, what do you hope people, even people who are diehard, you know, watchers of the Kennedy family, the Kennedy dynasty, what do you hope they will take away from this miniseries that they earlier did not know about this family and what they have gone through, both those who are still around and those who have passed on?
Well, you know, my goal with After Camelot is the same as it is with all of my projects, you know, which is to take people who appear in many ways to be very much not like us and explain how they are very much exactly like us. You know, that their ambitions and their heartbreak and their lives and their humanity is what I think we all have in common, and that humanity is what I hope to bring to all of my books, and especially to the Kennedys, because I have so much respect for them. And I think that what people will see in After Camelot is a family coming together under the most extraordinary circumstances and finding ways to sustain, not just in the public eye, because that's the least of their sort of goals, but privately with one another. And I think that that's where the heart of the story is. And I think that that's what you as a viewer will see in Matthew and Katie's performances, as well as in Diana Hardcastle's performance as Rose Kennedy. And in all of the amazing performances that we have, Kristen Hager as Joan Kennedy, you'll see the heart and soul of the family. So this isn't about their public image. My books are never really about the public personas of my subjects. My books and this movie, it's really about the personal side of their experience and what they went through behind closed doors.
The Kennedys, After Camelot, the miniseries sequel to the Emmy Award-winning The Kennedys, premieres this Sunday night, April 2nd, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on Reels Channel. And the following Sunday, by the way, is the second half of this four-hour event. Check your locals to where Reels Channel is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.reels.com. That's www.reels.com. And, of course, J. Randy Tabarelli's books are available at bookstores near you, and also you can order them online as well. J. Randy, thank you so much again for being with us. Good luck with you and everybody on the miniseries starting Sunday night. And I hope more of your books, by the way, do become series down the road.
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, for sure. Take care. Have a great, great weekend. And, again, congratulations on getting the series together, and look forward to seeing the premiere Sunday night.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye-bye now.
You got it. J. Randy Tabarelli joining us live from Los Angeles. So our Crackers Trivia Question of the Week, after we have some words from the fine people at Audible.com. Are you interested in having a better body, being more fit? Well, there's so someone who knows about fitness because of what she does every day as a great dancer, one of the best in this country, Misty Copeland, and you can hear what she does to make sure she is in shape and how that shape could be great for you. It's called Ballerina Body, and it's a great audiobook that you can get right now through a 30-day trial subscription to audible.com. And all you have to do is use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com, or I should say audible.com, is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio. So remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like Ballerina Body by Misty Copeland and a 30-day, 1-month trial of the service. Plus, you get great customer service because audible.com is an Amazon company. So check out audible.com for yourself and hear why it can transform the way you hear the world. audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. All for you. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Nobody's gotten it so far since features on Monday, so we're going to keep it in play through the weekend. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win a great DVD set, Season 3 of 30 Rock, the Emmy Award-winning NBC series with Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin, the rest of the crew, plus lots of bonus features as well. Here's the question. What Oscar-winning actress portrayed the housekeeper on The Courtship of Eddie's Father? That's the television series. What Oscar-winning actress portrayed the housekeeper on the television series version of The Courtship of Eddie's Father? On that series, which ran on ABC in the early 1970s, Bill Bixby played Eddie's father, Brandon Cruz was Eddie, and this woman played the housekeeper. She won an Emmy Award nomination or two for that role. So, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you are from, and if you are first with the correct answer, you will win Season 3 DVDs of 30 Rock with all sorts of wonderful bonus features. And if you just missed the question, we will post it on our homepage. That's blocked. You can post it on my homepage, on my Facebook page, I should say, and also we'll post it on my Twitter handle. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. So once again, if you just missed the question, no problem. Watch Facebook tomorrow morning, and also watch my Twitter handle at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to be winning, you got to be in it and play. So do your best, and all the best to you. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about the two. Special 90-minute expanded edition for you this Friday afternoon, last day of March 2017, been a big month on our program. And this is the third of three episodes we are doing this week. We've had a lot of great guests on the program, including Danielle Monáe-Truitt, the star of the new BET series Rebel from John Singleton. And on a special edition this past Wednesday, we had Michael J. McDonald, executive producer of ABC's Emmy-winning American Crime, which is on Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time with episode number 4. If you missed those episodes, you can go to our homepage throughout the rest of the day or through the weekend. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, we're also available on podcast 24/7 at iTunes.com or at Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you have Apple TV, you can check it out anytime you like. And whether you check us out on podcast from anywhere, you can also download it to your smartphone or tablet, take us on the go, share with others you like, and spread that love. So once again, check out the podcast, iTunes.com or Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, you can go to an Apple store near you or you can order it online. Okay, and coming on Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, we will have Joel Church Cooper. He is the creative executive producer of Brockmire. That's IFC's new comedy about a down-his-luck sports announcer trying to make a comeback in the big leagues. He's played by Hank Azaria with Ann Pete co-starring. Early reviews say it is a terrific show and a great addition to IFC's wonderful set of original comedies. So check out Brockmire creative executive producer Joel Church Cooper Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern and Pacific right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And also on Monday, if you're in the New York area, you can check me out on BK Live. It's the daily show about all things Brooklyn and beyond. We do a Tomorrow We Televise segment on that program, usually in the last half hour of the program. It's on from noon to 1 on Brick TV. Brick TV is the Emmy-nominated cable channel. It's available on what was Time Warner Cable, now Charter Spectrum in both Brooklyn and Manhattan. Also available throughout New York City on Verizon Fios and throughout Brooklyn on RCN and Altice formerly Cablevision System. You can also check out my segments at youtube.com/BrickTV. That's youtube.com/BrickTV. When we come back, another radio live exclusive same-day interview with one of the executive producers of 13 Reasons Why, Netflix acclaimed new series, which got on the air just this morning on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Executive producer Joy Gorman-Riddles joins me from L.A. after we call at the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Offbeat Wall Street, the lighter side of finance and money. Check it out today, later on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best VTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised for this last Friday of March 2017, and welcome aboard to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Appleman, I'm here with you live from New York, 41 wet degrees here in the New York metro area. Delighted to have you aboard. Another great guest coming your way in this half hour, and we always invite you to be part of the program. So give us a call and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers go anywhere you're catching across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is open as well. You can get in that way. It's SimonApple04, and you can see it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb from Philadelphia, our good friend there, already in the room. In the half decade that Netflix has been on the air, it has given us more than its share of some of the most unique programs in television. Orange is the New Black, One Day at a Time, Stranger Things, DOA, Sense8, House of Cards, you name it, it's there. Earlier today, it premiered its latest original drama series. It's a series that has a very tough topic. It's one of the toughest topics anyone could ever face on television or in life, suicide. The program is called 13 Reasons Why, and it's directed by the Oscar-winning director of last year's Best Picture, Spotlight, and it's produced by Anonymous Content, the folks that do Mr. Robot, starting its third season this fall on USA Network. Joining us live in an internet radio same-day exclusive, one of the executive producers of 13 Reasons Why, Joy Gorman-Riddles. Joy, welcome.
Hey, Simon. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. And I know that you've had some voice issues because you had a wonderful premiere in Los Angeles last night, big screening there, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, I do talk a lot, so I have to apologize for having quite a raspy voice today. I hope you can hear me all right.
We can hear you loud and clear, Joy, and certainly the critics have loud and clear. People like Dominic Patton, for example, of Deadline Hollywood Daily calls this show superb and astute, Variety, Entertainment Weekly, all sorts of other publications are saying it's one of the best shows this season, one of the best shows of the year, and a very important show in terms of the subject matter.
Yes, we're really thrilled with the response. We feel really proud and grateful.
Your company, Anonymous Content, has gotten this great reputation of taking on some very unique topics, like Mr. Robot, in terms of how technology impacts our lives. But when you thought of doing a series about a topic like suicide and the impact it has on the people that the person committing suicide leaves behind, was there any sort of qualms, any sort of like second-guessing that maybe we shouldn't do a series like this?
You know, we went into this with a lot of, with our eyes wide open, and we engaged a lot of mental health experts and suicide prevention experts, and we really tried to tell the story in as authentic a way as possible, and we were raw and unflinching and brave, and we took risks, but at the same time, we really did try to walk a fine line between being artistically free and socially responsible. And, you know, what came to us was a book by a gentleman named Jay Asher that had already sold 3.5 million copies worldwide and was published in 35 languages. And so we had the proof that this story had touched the lives of so many kids. And, you know, there's quite a large group of us who made this show. It was brought to Anonymous Content by my friend Crystal Lablin, who was partnered with Mandy Teefy and Selena Gomez on it. And for many years, they were developing it as a film and realized that it was such a deeply important topic that you really couldn't cover it in an hour and a half YA film. But what's amazing about all the group of people that came together as a village to make this show is that this book and this story had touched the lives of so many of us. Everybody, my niece had given it to me and Brian Yorkey when Brian was making Next to Normal on Broadway in 2009, you know. So many, and, you know, Selena Gomez and her mother had the book at that time. And so there's so many people who were touched by it that it felt that it's more important to make a TV show that addresses suicide, bullying, sexual violence, and what kids are dealing with every day in real life, every day on social media, that it was more important to create a piece of popular culture and a piece of art that can look at these issues in the eye and create a dialogue, and that it's more important to do it than to be afraid to do it, if that makes sense.
And one thing that's benefited this series, Joy, is the people around it. You mentioned Brian Yorkey. For those who don't know, he was a Tony and the Pulitzer Prize winner for Next to Normal, one of the great modern musicals of the last decade. I mentioned Tom McCarthy, who directed Spotlight, which won the Best Picture Award last year at the Oscars. Selena Gomez in, I think, her first role as an executive producer of a television series, and we know Selena has grown up on television, starting her career for many people with Wizards of Waverly Place for a number of years on the Disney Channel before becoming a pop star, et cetera, et cetera. So are you in a way surprised that all these talents came together for this particular project?
No, I feel like, you know, one of the things that we're so lucky at Anonymous Content, it's two different things. A, I feel so lucky to be at Anonymous Content, who made Spotlight, made The Revenant, made Mr. Robot, made True Detective. My mentor, Steve Golan, has always been somebody who can get the most difficult film made because of the vision of an incredible writer-director. You know, starting with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I mean, the list of projects that Steve Golan has produced is endless. And so we're a little bit spoiled in that way. You know, after seeing what my colleagues, Michael Sugar and Steve Golan, did with Tom McCarthy on Spotlight and the seven-year fight to get that brilliant film made, we kind of approach great material in a way that anything is possible. And when a story is that rich and that important to that many people, a great team is going to come together. And in this one, we were quite lucky. You know, Brian Yorkey and I developed Next to Normal together. We we did the Columbia Varsity show together when we were very young. So he's an old friend of mine, and he's a real partner and a voice that has inspired me since I was 19 years old. And Brian and I had both loved this book and would call my friend Crystal, who was working on the film version, and I would say, God, I wish you didn't have a writer on that project. You know how development takes so long in Hollywood. And ultimately, they were looking to do it for television, and I said, why don't you guys meet Brian Yorkey? And Anonymous and Paramount Television decided to commission a script because people had been waiting for Brian Yorkey to get into television for years, and he had just been so busy in theater. So, you know, it was one of those things that this book waited out there for 10 years for the right team to come together. And Selena and her mom, Mandy, and my friend Crystal really held on to that book for a long time, hoping that the right team could come together. And I do think in such a competitive and crazy industry, you know, sometimes when you approach it that it's a marathon and not a sprint, and you really wait for the right voice to meet the right material, the upside could be just endlessly successful. And that's what I hope we're about to see with this one, because a lot of people believed for a really long time. And, you know, something that was so important to Brian Yorkey, and I remember the day he met Jay Asher, the novelist, and Jay tweeted, oh, my God, I met a Pulitzer Prize winner today. You know, is these two guys approached this material with such a mutual respect and love and admiration for one another that it was just such a beautiful, the way Jay passed the baton to Yorkey with such trust and love, and the way Yorkie took so seriously keeping true to the book while still expanding on it. I mean, I've never seen an author say, this is the most perfect adaptation I've ever seen, you know. So Jay is quite proud of the work that we did, and it just feels kind of meant to be, you know. It feels like this was the group that was meant to do it.
Yeah. How involved was Jay Asher, the novelist? We just had Jay Randy Torbelli, who originally was not going to work on the adaptation of his book, After Camelot, which is a bio, into the Reels Channel's miniseries that's on Sunday night, and he ended up actually being one of the executive producers. So I'm curious how involved Jay Asher was in terms of making his novel come to life via you people.
Well, Jay didn't write on it or anything. He really truly gave Brian, you know, full trust. And, you know, Jay came to some initial meetings, and he's a consulting producer on the show. So when we would have questions about, you know, Brian and Jay would talk about, like, what song were you listening to when you, you know, wrote this scene, or, you know, like, things like that. Like, they would talk a lot in the beginning, I think, about inspiration, but they didn't write together. Jay really tried to keep a distance and be surprised. He did visit the set quite a few times and meet the cast, and you know, it was really wonderful to have Jay, you know, be around set and for everybody to meet the man. He was there on the first day, and you know, that sort of thing. But in terms of pen to paper, Jay really gave that to Brian in our writer's room, and he didn't try to impose his own, you know. He really was ready. I think he was ready for someone else's vision of his vision, you know.
Today is the premiere of 13 Reasons Why. It's Netflix's latest original series from anonymous content and Paramount Television, based on the best-selling book by Jay Asher. And we've got one of the key executive producers from anonymous content working on this series with us, live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow We Televise. That's Joya Gorman-Wendels, and she is live this half hour on our program. Happy to have you with us live as well. Simon Applebaum live with you from New York. If you have a question or a comment for Joy, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Now, this series is about a teenager, Clay, who's played by Dylan Minnette, and he comes home from an adventure of his own, and he finds a box, and take it from there, and how things evolve.
Oh, you want me to explain what happens? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
I didn't hear you for a second, Simon. I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, Clay, can
you
hear me for one sec? Yeah, I
okay.
Hear you now. You just wanted me to
right,
take it from there where Clay finds the box of tape?
That's right.
Okay. Clay finds a box of tapes, and we meet Clay and some of the kids in his school, and realize that there's the aftermath of a terrible tragedy. There's a memorial on the locker, and we learn that this lovely girl has been lost, and the school is in kind of a tumultuous time. And Clay finds this box of tapes. And Hannah lays out the rules that you have to listen to all of the tapes and pass the box of tapes on. There are 13 sides to every story, so there's a different character for each side. And it unfolds a number of reasons that accumulated to her getting to this place. And Clay doesn't understand why he's one of the tapes. And why he would get this box of tapes, because he doesn't know what he could have done to be one of the quote-unquote reasons that Hannah has taken her life. And we slowly learn that Clay truly loved her, and that, you know, there was an unrequited romance between them, and that he's truly heartbroken, but as a lot of 17-year-old boys, isn't quite versed in how to talk about it and who to talk to. Also, the nature of the tapes is it's scary because the deeper we get into the story, the more people are implicated in a way in doing, potentially having committed darker and darker mistakes. And so without giving too much away, I would say that, you know, that's what lends the story, that's how the story lends itself to this mystery thriller kind of binge-watching Netflix type of structure. Yet I think what we're really proud of is we try to go deeper into all of these archetypes. Who really is the hot jock? You know, who really is that beautiful cheerleader? And who are they behind closed doors? And what are they suffering from? And we try to paint every character as a fully dimensional person and not just an archetype. I think traditionally in teen movies, you know, or teen shows, you kind of you don't get to go too deeply behind the closed doors of who kids are pretending to be in their lip gloss and handbags. And this story really tries to deeply explore each kid's pain and what led them to do what they did.
The two main characters, I mentioned Dylan Minnette, who plays Clay. The other one, who's Hannah Baker, the person that committed suicide, is played by Catherine Langford. And it seems, once again, in a year where already we have seen breakout performance after breakout performance after breakout performance in all sorts of shows, it looks like you have two more with this series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dylan has been in some terrific films, and he's been working since he's 8 years old, but this is a star making turn for him. I think I've never seen a boy his, like, since River Phoenix. I don't think I remember seeing a guy his age go to such deeply emotional places in a teen drama. And we're very proud of him. And Catherine, I mean, it really is a story for the you know, like, it's one of those Hollywood stories. I mean, we didn't meet Catherine until we cast her. She was cast on Skype in Australia, and we had to rush her O-1 visa. And there were moments where we didn't think we could get her to this country fast enough for her to make her first rehearsal. And so when she showed up, it felt like this, you know, I don't know, I mean, the role of Hannah Baker is such a complicated person. You know, she has this angelic, heavenly quality, and she's this outsider, you know, and she's not perfect. She's not this, you know, completely innocent victim who took her life. You know, she's complicated, and she has to have a lot of emotional depth. And just Catherine is just such a warm and loving soul and such an open actress. I mean, she reminded me of Kate Winslet or Rose Byrne, you know. She just has such a star quality and also such a humility and modesty and focus on her art that it's kind of mind-blowing, considering she was only like 19 years old when she came to us.
And we should point out that for all the tragedy and for all the wrenching of the heart, there are moments of humor. There are moments of love. There are moments of passion. There are moments of humanity that are laced throughout the series.
Yes, I mean, it's something that Brian Yorkey does so well. And if anybody listening has been lucky enough to experience Next to Normal, if you haven't, please listen to the rock opera, because, you know, that is why Next to Normal won the Pulitzer. It's just Brian has always known how to balance joy and pain, how to see that grief and loss comes with a lot of magic and spiritual connection and beauty and love. And I think he does also a great job of just capturing, you know, we all struggle with loss. We all struggle with dark issues and trauma. But if you can't have some laughs, you know, through it, that's just, it's not real life. You know, you always do. It's part of the survival. So I think that the way he can balance levity and pain in a character and in the dialogue is very unique to Brian. And he just kind of strikes a tone, especially with teenagers. You know, he really treats teenagers with a lot of respect. And Tom McCarthy said, you know, we want to give kids something to reach up to. We want them to feel like they see themselves, but we want them to feel like this is an elegant, filmic, smart piece of content that is meant for them. You know, that we don't just see them as kids. And that's what we hope. You know, we also hope it's something that parents will love to watch with their kids to create a conversation. Because there's humor, because there's a lot of nostalgia, you know, that that it allows the painful stuff to be a bit more palatable.
Is this the first time Tom has done television as a director? And I have a hunch he really, really loved the experience because of what the subject matter was all about for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's officially, in terms of like a whole released, you know, series that he did two episodes of, I think it's Tom's official, like, first official, like, foray into TV as a director and EP. And, you know, we were very lucky also, because Tom and Brian Yorkie already knew each other and had been working, they'd been workshopping at the Public a musical version of The Visitor. And so they were good friends. And it was about the same time that Spotlight came out and Anonymous Content and Tom were doing the Oscar rounds, that both Yorkie and Anonymous went to him and said, you got to read this, you got to do this show. And I think Tom was in the midst of this incredible experience of being able to give survivors of abuse a voice through Spotlight. And he did so much outreach. And I think as a filmmaker, it was very satisfying to him to know that he could make a movie like Spotlight that really could help people, and he saw that same quality in this material. And I think that was a huge reason why we were able to lure him to do this with us.
Is Netflix doing any outreach with suicide prevention hotlines or agencies in conjunction with your series?
Yes, that's something I've been very aggressive about in terms of my role as a producer. We have Jed Foundation and Crisis Text Line who've been working with us. They've been doing media training with our actors so that they know how to properly speak about the issue and respond. We're very proud of our sort of episode 14, which is we did an after show documentary called Beyond the Reasons. And we talked to a lot of our experts from It's On Us and Protect Her and doctors from Stanford and Cedars-Sinai, mental health experts who talk about, A, how they consulted on the show and helped us, and you know, also talk about how to talk about what you've just seen, how to discuss the issues. And we also created a site, 13reasonswhy.info, where you can type in, you know, because Crisis Text Line is only in America and our show is released all at once in 190 countries, we had to find hotlines in every single country, and we did. And we built a site so that our audience members can go put in where they live and immediately get a resource to call if they need to talk about anything. And so, you know, that's, you know, we really kept all of that in mind. And Jed Foundation was very, very helpful in educating us on our messaging. Jed is the leader in youth suicide prevention. And so it's, you know, they very specifically understand the kind of trajectory that that Hannah goes through in terms of the shame and bullying and you know, what young people are struggling with right now. So they've been a great help to us.
Joy, we have a minute left. I know that Anonymous Contact with Paramount have a lot on the TV fire coming up, including the third season. Mr. Robot, I mentioned, is going to be on USA Network this fall. Productions, I think, starting in a couple of weeks. What is your next Anonymous project in television?
Oh, well, we just started season two of Berlin Station. So that's happening right now. We've got another, my colleagues have another Netflix show that's in the early phases of development called Maniac, with pretty exciting auspices. Carrie Fukunaga and Emma Stone and Jonah Hill. And gosh, there's so many things. We're kind of a conglomerate of producers. So we have a lot of great stuff going on.
And the great stuff at the moment is 13 Reasons Why. It is the latest series from Netflix. You can catch it if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, Shield, Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For more details about the program online, go to www.netflix.com. And if you are dealing or you know someone who is dealing with suicide, please have them let them know about this special website connected to the show. It's www.13reasonswhy.info, www.13reasonswhy.info. And if you know of something happening where you can think someone might be looking at considering suicide, intervene. Don't be silent. Use the resources. Use the hotline. Use this website. It may save someone's life and maybe lead to a greater life. Joy Groen-Wendels, executive producer of 13 Reasons Why on Netflix, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on the great acclaim for the show. Congratulations, Selena Gomez, everybody involved, cast and crew. And we hope to have you back soon. And all the very best to you for a wonderful and hopefully not only a great run with this series, but an important run that will save so many lives.
Oh, thank you, Simon. This was really great. Thank you so much. And in the U.S., you could go to Crisis Text Line, which is 741-741. So in the U.S., Crisis Text Line, 741-741. Just so you don't have to skip that whole, you could skip the step of going to the website. So thank you, Simon. Thanks for having
you're
me.
You're very welcome, Joy. All the greatest. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Joy Groen-Wendels, the executive producer of 13 Reasons Why on Netflix, joining us live, an air radio exclusive from Los Angeles. I want to thank all my guests today and this week for a really wonderful wrap-up of March on Tomorrow We Tell Live. We'll be back in April, Monday of April, first one, April 3rd, and joining me then will be the creative executive producer of the new IFC comedy, Benchmark, starring Hank Azaria and Amanda Peet. Sorry, Brockmire. That's the name of the show. Brockmire. I think Benchmark Live. But anyway, it's Brockmire and the creative executive producer, Joel Church Cooper. That is his name, and that's the person we will have on this coming Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televised. Remember, you can catch recent episodes at www.blogsofree.com/televised, the podcast on iTunes.com, and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And you can find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. We'd love to hear from you. You can also email me with your thoughts at SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Remember, we appreciate what you have to say because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. And so is Blog Talk Radio's general manager with Jay Silverberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very venture, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. And Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where? Blog Talk Radio. Please be safe and be great out there. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.